Welcome into another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Mark Chandler, managing partner over at Bannockburn Global Forex. Now, Mark, let's recap some of the moves that we've seen in the markets this week. Well, the continued move higher in more of the risk on U.S. equity markets and even international markets. It was initially on the back of some more optimistic trade talks between the U.S. and China. But even today, it's been curious. We had Trump come out and say that, you know what, they haven't agreed to rolling back any tariffs yet. He's throwing a little bit of shade on this optimism that was growing throughout the week. But the markets are still more or less shaking it off. They're not pulling back significantly. They're not really pulling back at all. They're more flat today. What's been your biggest takeaway from this week, the moves in the markets, and, well, really the strength in global markets?
Yeah, I think that as investors, we have to think about like what's the driving force here. Sometimes the news developments drive the markets. That's sort of like what we feel most comfortable with. But I'd say lately, it's really been the markets driving the news. That is, equity markets are moving higher. And like you say, not just the U.S., we're seeing like 4 or 5 week rallies in the major benchmarks in Europe and in Asia. And it seems to me that it's become decoupled now with the new stream that's coming out. And so I think that this is a momentum right now, and it scares me. And I think that we're at levels in which I think the pendulum has swung very far. You know, a couple of weeks ago we were talking, but the big fear people had was a repeat of Q4 2018. Remember when the stock market just couldn't sustain any kind of upticks. People were afraid the economy, the expansion was ending, earnings recession. And now I think the pendulum has swung too far the other way, almost this euphoria. And I mean, I see the same thing as you are. I mean, a month ago, President Xi and President Trump supposedly had a handshake deal, and now they can't agree on when to meet, let alone where to meet, to finalize this agreement. And it seems to be at sort of a pushback that the Chinese continue with their pressure that not only should the U.S. not carry through with its tariff threats, like the ones that's supposed to go into effect middle of December, but they should unwind some of the past tariffs. It's proportionate that China would do the same thing. But in the face of a new agreement, this is what China is demanding. And it's not clear that the U.S. is really ready to give up the tariff weapon. And I'm not so sure, you know, it is an amazing thing. When you think about what China has been doing, the latest reports suggest China is about to lift its ban on U.S. poultry. And we know that it's buying more soy, and we know it's stepping up its pig imports from the U.S. And this is all without an agreement. They've gotten rid of the quota system that regulated foreign investment coming into China. They've had this joint venture with the U.S., sort of coordinated arrest of half a dozen people or so in China trying to smuggle fentanyl out to either Canada, the United States, or something like that. And so China is doing a lot of things without a trade agreement. And so, so what strikes me is that what's so important about the trade agreement right now, look at what the U.S. did yesterday. Turns out that the Commerce Department concluded that China, several companies from China, are dumping ceramic tiles in the U.S. And so they slapped a tariff on these companies between 100% and over 300%. And so I think that the trade is not a big panacea. Trade agreement is not a big panacea. The tension between the two largest economies continues. People are getting a little bit optimistic on the Eurozone when we had a little bit better than expected PMIs. But at the same time, the EU is warning that the EU and the IMF are warning that things could get worse and Europe should be thinking more about fiscal policy since monetary policy is exhausted. And we're seeing signs that the Japanese economy, between the typhoon and the sales tax, they had a splurge of a consumption in September. But come October, it looks like things are slowing down dramatically.
Okay, so maybe the picture globally, too, is just not as rosy as the investors or traders are, well, where they're putting their money. But it has been a pretty aggressive move into U.S. markets and international markets. One other market that I found very interesting this week, too, was the U.S. dollar. What we had seen was the U.S. dollar looked at almost like a safe haven for a lot of this year, and that was the argument why it was moving higher. But in just this last week, after a couple week pullback, then we actually saw the money move into the dollar, not so much on kind of a safe haven move, because we saw some of the other safe havens like bonds, like gold, move down. What was your takeaway from the moves in the dollar this week that is now above 98 on the dollar index?
Yeah, so I was looking at the charts at the end of last week, and I think we've talked about it, that the dollar had been stretched to the downside. But I thought that the technical still allowed the dollar to have one more leg down before it began this, a sustained technical correction. But I was wrong, and instead we got the dollar came out of the gate Sunday night, Monday morning in Asia, and basically rallied all week. We're making the lows for the highs for the week today. Give you an example. The previous week, the euro was up every day of the week for the first time in about 2.5 years. In this past week, it's been down every day. And I think this is just reflecting what I think is still a largely a technical correction after the dollar had spent the last 4 weeks and most of October into early November trending lower. Now, I'm saying that this is a correction, but it's got momentum behind it, and it's hard to pick the top to the dollar here.
Yeah, it really is. And I think what was important is when the dollar was moving down, it still didn't break that gradual uptrend that it's been in for well over a year. So the dollar is still trending higher, and it had a pretty strong snapback this week. Now, let's also talk about bonds, because yields are moving higher. It's moving higher on the long end. We're seeing a steepening of the yield curve, but also internationally, we are seeing bonds generally move, well, bonds move lower, yields move higher, which has pulled some of the negative yielding bonds into now positive territory. What's your general takeaway from the move out of bonds?
Yeah, that's what we're seeing. I mean, like you say, so the U.S. yield, we're at about 3-month highs here today, about 1.9, a little bit above 1.90. But to me, the remarkable thing is that in Europe, several countries that had negative yielding bonds, we're looking at the 10-year, France, Belgium, Sweden, all now turned positive now. That is, the yields were negative and now positive with a sharp backing up this week. And so it does seem that this is, I think that there, in some ways, it's almost like there's one big trade going on. And the trade is buying equities, selling bonds, buying risk assets, which includes emerging markets, and buying the dollar. And I think this is just one big trade. And I think that these are the markets correcting. So the pendulum swinging wildly this way. But I think this is not a move that's really reflecting, I think, these, like we were talking about, it's not really reflecting fundamentals. And that's what I think when the technicals, the momentum, is on one side and the fundamentals on the other side, just makes me more cautious in thinking that this is the kind of market that is dangerous and that one in which we want to think about capital preservation techniques, like tightening up stops, taking some profits off the table, other things just to preserve this as the markets are sort of flashing us, I think, a yellow flag.
Okay, so don't get too sucked into this move higher, which unfortunately these type of markets do suck in investors when, you know what, they break to all-time highs and then continue on reaching all-time highs. When it comes to some capital preservation, though, where are you looking to? Are you
Yeah, no, I think it's just to take advantage of this to take some cash off the table, accumulate cash, so when there is a sell-off, one can go back into the markets sort of for the clearer emotional standing. I think that I was told this from an old boss many years ago, that's not how much money you can make that's important, it's how much money you can keep. And I think the keeping of it is a tricky thing. People have caught the stock market move or lighten up on their bonds, and I think that now is the time to try to like lock some of that in.
Now, is this going to be a trend to the end of the year? Because in all fairness, we are around the corner from what we could see as a Santa Claus rally. Or has that Santa Claus rally been moved up?
Yeah, I think this is what we've been having, the Santa Claus rally, and I'd be looking at data in the coming weeks to sort of scare investors, to remind them that the global economy is slowing down, that we're completing a record-long expansion in the U.S. And that means, for example, next week, we're going to get from Germany, which, remember, Germany has negative interest rates out like 15 years still. It looks like they're going to report the third quarter GDP contracted. That'll be the second consecutive quarter contraction. In the U.S., we're going to get CPI, not a big deal. It looks like it's pretty flat on a year-to-year basis, 1.7 on the headline. 2.4 on the core rate. We're going to get retail sales, which were very soft in September, might have stabilized in October, but still well below the averages we saw earlier this year. And industrial production looks like it's going to be down for the second month in a row. And so I think that the economic data, so I think we get the Santa Claus rally now, and then we get some weaker economic data globally that will support sort of less aggressive risk taking.
Okay. How much, too, do you think that this recent rally has also been almost the delay or catch-up effect of the markets reacting to the rate cuts that we've seen this year? We heard from Powell and we've heard from other commentators that it takes a while for rate cuts to work their way through the system. Has a lot of this run also been predicated on finally just accounting for these rate cuts from this year?
And that's a good point. I do think that there's something to it that before this big momentum built for the stock market of the upside, we had the ECB, the Fed, Central Bank of China, and many emerging market countries cut interest rates. In the past week or so, think about what's happened. Two of the major central banks that were sort of neutral sort of softened up their stance. And I'm thinking about the Bank of Canada and the Bank of England. And the Japanese government indicated they've got roughly a $45 billion stimulus program that they need to help rebuild after the typhoon. And so I do think that there's stimulus in the pipeline, whether this is really driving the market, the actual stimulus and anticipation of what it could mean down the road, sort of discounting it already. So I think that might have something to do with it. But I think that this is just, like I say, it's like momentum. And we got to think about why did the central banks cut interest rates? Not just that it's lower interest rates. I'm not convinced that lower interest rates is going to really boost investment. I think we've seen some of the interest rate sensitive sectors like housing pick up where countries have cut interest rates. But it's not really helping the consumer, I don't think. I mean, I think about what I'm paying on credit cards, which I think is about 21%. So the lower rates haven't really come to the consumer so much. And we did see the U.S. consumers pull back a little bit on their revolving credit. In the month of October.
Yeah, some interesting comments there, Mark, but I think the real takeaway here is sometimes markets don't follow the fundamentals, and that's what you're seeing right now. Even some of the recent sentiment numbers have gotten uber bullish, almost to an extreme extent. So some of those numbers, they do always come back more to the average, which could happen very soon. Who knows? Maybe next week, or especially after these comments from Trump today. Just curious to see the markets not take it more on the chin, and also for some of these safe havens to not get a little bit more money flowing into them. But that was kind of the trend of this week, is risk on being in favor and risk off really selling off. Wrap us up with what you're kind of taking away and what you're looking forward to here, Mark.
Yeah, sure. So I do think that we get some more upside here in the dollar. I was just looking at some of the technical indicators. It suggests to me that we still have this, if I'm right about this upside being a correction, still has some room to go in the week ahead. And I think that might be crystallized when we get that German contraction in GDP. I say keep your eyes on it. I think that what happens is you get noise around the signal. And for me, the fundamentals are the true signal. And we've got the technicals moving around it. Technicals, I think, momentum, very supportive. Fundamentals, not so.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there. Mark, always great having you on the show and always great chatting with you on Fridays, recapping what we saw in terms of market moves and even some of the data this week, again, dominated by trade rumors, I guess we can call them, because still we don't have anything signed. And well, we just have a whole lack of clarity now after Trump's comments just today. Mark, great chatting with you. Everyone, click that link below. Go visit Mark's blog, marktomarket.com. I visit it every day, and it's a great recap of data that comes out and some of the key markets that are moving. Mark, have a great weekend.
Thank you. Good luck to everybody.